Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Very excited about having one of the resident historians of the Brain Trust, Ken Davis, back on the show. Kenneth C. Davis is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of Don't Know Much About History, and folks, it's out now, just now, in the 20th anniversary edition. It's the New York Times bestseller, Don't Know Much About History. It's revised, expanded, updated, et cetera, et cetera. Ken's also the author of A Nation Rising, which is his brand new book, and then also America's Hidden History, and the whole Don't Know Much About series and the children's books. I always like to mention those, too. Ken Davis, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, and happy Columbus Day to you, if that's the right word.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Happy Columbus Day, or some people say Happy Indigenous Peoples Day if they don't like Columbus, right?
That is what they celebrate in Berkeley, California.
Hey, Ken, before we get to all the controversy, I want to talk a little bit about the holiday itself. Now, the origins, if I understand correctly, the origin of the holiday goes back to the late 1700s.
Well, I've found records of a Columbus Day holiday in New York in 1792.
Yeah.
So
that's what I'm referring to. The Society of Saint Tammany.
That's the first recognition of it as a date. It certainly didn't have state or official or national recognition. We basically just born as a nation then, so we didn't have too many holidays yet. But yeah, that it goes back then. But as a national holiday, it's actually a fairly recent one. Federal holiday in the early 1930s, I think. And you know, Jim, to be honest, most holidays get made holidays because of political pressure to some degree or recognizing a group. And this was really a recognition of the growing importance of immigrants in America,
right,
particularly Italian-American immigrants. And the Knights of Columbus had been a fraternal organization that was fighting a lot of the anti-Catholic, anti-immigration sentiment in the country that day. Became a very powerful political organization, and they were really behind the Columbus Day holiday. Other states had one in effect, but it was really as a national and a federal holiday not until the 1930s in response to that, that political pressure.
Mm-hmm. That's
the way things happen in America.
Exactly. Well, it became a federal holiday, if I understand correctly. President Johnson made it an actual federal holiday and affixed it to the second Monday in October.
Well, it had been the October 12th holiday up until then, and that's when we had the so-called Uniform Holidays Act, and so it becomes one of the Monday holidays.
Tell us about this man that this holiday is named after. What do we not know about him?
Let's get rid of the first myth first, and I don't mean myth in the sense or misstatement, but when we say Columbus discovered America, that's the first misconception. The man never set foot in America. He sailed
on the continent.
He never set foot on either of the continent of North or South America.
Mm-hmm.
He made four voyages. The first voyage in 1492, October 12th, he lands in the Bahamas. We don't know exactly which of that an archipelago, which one precisely he landed in, and then he sailed around the Caribbean on that voyage and then went back. Later voyages, again, sailing mostly around the Caribbean, as far south as off the coast of South America, off the coast of Venezuela, but never setting foot on mainland North America at all.
Mm-hmm.
But that arrival, what I like to say is, he's four trips to the Caribbean, he really discovered Club Med. But the fact is that arrival, one of the biggest accidents in history, really ushered in this whole era of European discovery, exploration, settlement, And we have to go along with that and say death and destruction, because it meant the end of the way of life for maybe as many as 100 million people who were in North and South America in 1492, who were mostly wiped out, mostly by diseases like smallpox, to which they had no immunity.
Right. And cholera from...
We're talking about one of the great moments in history, not great in the sense of good, but in the sense of world transforming.
Right. And of course, his timing was good, but his PR was better, wasn't it? I mean, he had...
Well, not in his lifetime.
Not in his lifetime, but in terms of his legacy.
No, his legacy got really established. Well, it's just a few facts here. 1492, of course, Isabella and Ferdinand, they are the king and queen of what is going to become Spain. Spain was not a united nation yet. It was these principalities, and they sort of bring it together. Their son, Philip, really creates the modern state of Spain, the kingdom of Spain. But they do two things in 1492. They get rid of the last remnants of the Moors, the Islamic occupiers of the Iberian Peninsula. They've been there 700 years. This was seen as a great triumphant moment for Christianity, and that at that time, of course, that meant Roman Catholic Vatican Christianity. And they also expelled all the Jews from Spain. So three really tremendous moments in 1492, and then part of the financing for Columbus comes from the money that was taken from the Jews who were expelled from Spain. It's really an incredible story. Yes, yeah. They actually financed the trip. Columbus had some other backers. The Spanish monarchs were told, look, the risks are very small here. Portugal is really taking the lead in exploration and finding their way to Asia. This guy says he can get there faster by sailing west. It won't cost you much. You might, and we'll get a lot out of it.
They had no idea. They pretty much knew the Earth was round at this point, but they didn't. But they had no idea that there was there was this whole hemisphere in the way of getting to the Pacific.
That's right. Columbus makes some estimates, some misjudgments. He first of all sells them on this idea because he presents them with an idea of a world that's much, an Earth that's much smaller than it is. He kind of fudges his figures a little bit.
He basically sounds like he basically was describing the moon when he was describing how big the Earth was. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Right back with Kenneth C. Davis. Don't forget, the 20th anniversary edition of Don't Know Much About History is out right now. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
'Cause this land's the place I love, and here I...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.